And welcome to, I'm your host, Fong, my co-host, Dan Ford. How you doing, Dan?
I couldn't be any happier. If it's any happier, it'd be illegal.
Let's kick off with the big game.
Okay, let's start with that. Okay. Justin Timberlake, shit all over. I feel like, why aren't people talking about the fact that we caught him living? Because when that thing opened up and he was in that other room, like, before he walked out onto the field.
Yeah.
Like, he was lip-syncing, and the track wasn't coming in strong.
Mic turned on. That was, you have one of the most overly produced things in here, right? The halftime show. And you forget to turn on his live mic to start.
But you can hear the pumped-in voice coming in behind it.
Yeah, and part of that I get a lot. Like, it's almost impossible to dance. Like, that's something, even Michael Jackson. But I just thought it was a bad. I think Timberlake went from, he's here, everybody hates him, everybody liked him for a little bit, and now we're back to just, I think we're just over, it's just over for point, right?
Yeah. And there's certain people, there's certain musicians where you're not really familiar with every song they've done, necessarily. Like, when Bruno Mars did it, I don't really know Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
I mean, that's more of, Divorced Mom, in my opinion. Yeah. But when he played the Super Bowl, I was like, well, that was pretty good. Like, I'm pleasantly surprised. I had no expectations.
I think Bruno Mars, he had the hit more, but I think, that Super Bowl performance, really helped his career, at least expand and get him into, a big money
range. It was this guy is a competent pop star.
Yes, and then, that Nelly moment, sure. Where, you have soccer moms, and then, like you said, you have white moms in the suburbs, and your songs, that's when you're making.
I was blown away by how few songs I actually was just like, oh man, this shit's just like, it all sounds the same.
And he's thinking Cry Me a River, and I was like, I was in high school, and I'm like, I'm about to be. That was a long time ago.
Also, this was super boring when I was in high school. When I was in high school, nobody this was considered lame.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I thought it was
a time. I just remember everybody.
We were at war.
Yeah, we were crying all the time.
And post 9/11.
Yeah, it was post 9/11. Tears were flowing. But it was just, he's a very boring. He's it's not the most boring Super Bowl halftime show of all time, because that will forever be Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Tom Petty's halftime show could have been prescribed to cure insomnia. That thing was terrible.
When was that? That was
one of those Janet Jacksoners where it's
hey,
let's make sure nobody does anything controversial. Let's get somebody from.
Let's get old white guys.
I mean, Paul McCartney was too bad, but also the Beatles. So if you play a couple Beatles songs and then you play the James Bond song, everybody's going to be that's pretty good.
That reminds me. Did you see the Quincy Jones in it?
Of course I did.
Okay.
He fucked Ivanka Trump.
How about the Beatles slander there? I really respect it, because
I didn't see that bit. You gotta tell me.
Yeah, he said the Beatles couldn't play. They weren't good at music.
Yeah,
Ringo
right.
Starr was the worst bass player he's ever seen. And
Ringo Starr played drums.
Whatever. Paul, though, whoever the fuck cares.
Paul McCartney played bass.
Okay, he said he was the worst he's ever seen. And finally, some Beatles slander, because the Beatles were just these. Let's stop pretending to be some revolutionary.
Okay, here's the thing about the Beatles. Here's the thing. They're a bit of a Canadian girlfriend. You know, that old thing, oh yeah, I got a girlfriend, she's up in Canada, you can't meet. The time that everybody tries to claim that the Beatles were this great band was when they were playing clubs in Berlin full of drunk American soldiers, none of whom could probably tell you what they remembered seeing there, because they were all pissed drunk. And there's nobody who can, vouch for this band any good or not. Because when they came to America to tour, extremely brief, they're basically just playing stadiums, and they were playing really basic boy bands. And then
oddly enough to me, I prefer the poppy stuff.
That early 60s. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of that, but I'm not a huge fan of the Beatles. But their later stuff that's far more critically acclaimed, they stopped touring. They didn't play any of that shit live. And yeah, I don't buy that they were playing on any of those records. They just got a shit ton of studio musicians to play it all.
Yeah, and it was all heavily produced. And I was finally, some in the slander with Bono, where he said he stays in Bono's castles in Ireland because Ireland's so racist. Hell yeah, any slander on the Irish. But and then they asked, "Well, do you still make good?" He shook his head. And that's cold. That's all.
You stay in his
right.
He's right. What, show me where he told a lie. Show me the lie he told.
Because, wasn't you two, on a rap track or something? A Kendrick Lamar joint or something?
I have not heard this, and I think I'd be horrified by it.
But that kind of brings me around to this point, Dan. Next year's halftime Super Bowl in Atlanta. Is it time for the NFL to go woke as shit, get hip-hop?
They will absolutely not do that. After this year's Super Bowl was down 8%, despite being one of the most exciting games in years, but featuring one of those famous teams and one of the most famous players, and they were still down 8%, they will have the corpse of that guy who used to do that show from Minnesota in the 60s.
Or like something awful.
Bing Crosby will be dug up from the ground to do a duet with Frank Sinatra.
Shouldn't they? Really, with the best halftime, maybe embrace Atlanta music. Where's Outkast? Outkast has songs like White Suburban.
Yeah, Hey Ya. Everybody likes that.
I like The Way You Move and Hey Ya.
I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
Yeah. And then you do Rosa Parks or something, and like maybe Bombs Ever Better. And plus, Outkast is going to have like a DJ behind him. They will absolutely not do that. To me, that's the best halftime show that would make everything.
It would make large parts of America not happy.
I think they would like Outkast.
I'm telling you, they would not. Not in 2018.
I don't know, because Outkast isn't even that political.
Yeah, white people.
Like, they're not even like Jay-Z. You know?
They're not going to do that. They're going to be as lily white.
No, it's going to be like Nickelback.
They're going to get like the military marching band to just play taps for 10 minutes.
But this was Bruno Mars again. So if you could pick any Atlanta artist to play the Atlanta Super Bowl next, who you got?
I'm not big on the Atlanta music scene. The only band I know from Atlanta is the Constellations, who I don't think have ever had a hit record.
You could have Atlanta Blues.
I mean, the Allman Brothers are all dead now, aren't they?
Yeah, you can't do the Allman Brothers. I think, though, NFL should throw it all to the wall. Go with the Migos. Let's go some trap music, perhaps. Let's really scare the white. They're going to the XFL. Let them go.
Yeah, I think every game next year is going to have, like, soldiers, like, marching up and down the field to just be like, we love America.
Yeah, and then like the NFL love us again. And like what the NFL won't get, go down, because like they're really more down because like a lot more people on the left aren't exactly like super NFL pro.
I think there was an article in the Wall Street Journal, because I'm a very smart person who has a Roth IRA, so I subscribe to the Wall Street Journal,
the paper of record. Here.
Sure. They had an article where, like, the biggest reason for the NFL's ratings is that for years they've been slowly rotting with younger, who are just not as interested in the NFL as the previous generations. And so they've got this slow rot going with the younger generation, and then suddenly they have this catalyzing moment where, you know, suddenly a bunch of their core audience, their 50s, you know, white men in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, who suddenly, like, I'm not watching.
Yeah. So like that's part of your issue, and the other issue too is with the internet and streaming and everything, there's more sports available. Like there's more people into soccer, basketball, obviously,
I think there's just like a video game generation behind us who give a shit about sports at all.
Yeah, well, I think there's still
they're just like doing esports, vaping, and watching YouTube.
Well, I think that's the other thing too. Even 10 years ago, they had to kind of watch the Super Bowl. Now you can watch Netflix. You know, like,
can we talk about how I'm already starting to shim behind?
I'm not quite there.
I'm already about to see,
Dan, my advantage here is I tend to have a younger face. So if things go awry, I'm just going to shave years younger and join this generation. I'm kind of waiting to see things out, you know.
See, they're going to take themselves out, because literally, like, all they do is sit around on YouTube, like, watching videos about how, like, the earth is flat and they should, like, eat Tide Pods. And
the earth is flat, and Tide Pods are.
I think the generation behind us might be bone fucking stupid, because they literally have gotten every bit of information from YouTube.
I don't think they're any more stupid though.
They just have no, generations before, like, you had to, like, eat something in school. Whereas now it's just watching YouTube.
Dan, think about, like, they're not exactly, like, smart or well-run. Like, most people are really. I think it's just more magnifier issues. I think that's why people go, this generation's dumb. Well, it's like, no, you. Like, go look at, like, a 50-year-old's Facebook feed. There's plenty of, like,
dude, nobody's gonna argue with you that the worst generation is, like, our parents.
Yeah.
Because they can't even stay alive. Like, they're literally dying.
Well, hopefully they die quick.
They're all dying. Like, everybody, like, white people between the age of, like, 45 and 60, like, they're just dying in mass because they can't, like, the idea of, hey, maybe I shouldn't get drunk before I get in this car is completely foreign to.
Yeah.
The thing about the generation behind us is that they won't buy a car because they saw on YouTube where that's how the government tracks you.
But, like, maybe that's a good... Well, you see, Dana, I'm anti. So, like, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe we need less cars because of global warming. So maybe the generation behind us...
And I'm not... I
think the other issue with us right now, we tend to value intelligence too much. I need to get a little more stupid. We need to stop trying to pretend to be smart and just embrace.
Yeah, that's what America more open stupidity.
No, but like stupidity that like doesn't try to pretend.
Yeah, that's what we have like, now, and everything's on fire.
No, because
and broken.
If you watch like Duck Hunting, though, what was it like?
Duck Dynasty. Roberts,
Duck Dynasty. People still pretended to sound smart or wise.
No, they didn't.
I prefer to hear like from the guy who knows he's.
No, I the whole.
He's happy. The happiest people are.
That
like,
was that was the whole
challenged.
Character of that one dude on Duck Dynasty. Is that like. Yeah, his mind doesn't work right. He was in Vietnam and he doesn't think
but
straight.
But then, like, sage.
They don't. Like,
they
treat him like he's
speeches.
An idiot.
He does speeches. He does speeches.
But because the idea is that people know more than smart people.
I know, that's what they're trying to make this bar of intelligence. What really should be, you're stupid, just go stare at trees all day, and that's cool. Why don't we embrace more of that? Like, mentally challenged people are happier. Why aren't we just, why
don't
we have
that? I mean,
I'm
not sure about that. Like, I can't make that sweeping statement.
I think, in general, tend to be a little more mentally challenged or happier than really, really... If it's more intelligent, you're more depressed.
I'm not sure that's true either.
That's kind of the truth. What was that movie about the smart scientist?
Oh, the movie. Well, this was probably definitely...
It was like, who is that? My friend was telling me about it. I didn't even watch it. Something Florida. Was there like a critically acclaimed movie, Florida, in the title?
I can't think of anything.
Some movie buff.
I've already told you that my Thanksgiving tradition is watching The Thin Man. Those movies came out in like
1934. Well, this movie's old. Dan, let's jump back to the Super Bowl. Let's talk the thing most people are talking about from the game. Which commercial do you use the best?
Well, I definitely supported Martin Luther King telling me I should buy a truck.
Okay, and they're just about worst or dumbest. We're going to exclude the Dodge Martin Luther King one. Clearly, that's number one in the world. It's not even funny.
Okay, if you take MLK telling me to go, I have a dream that we will all drive a Dodge truck.
I have a dream that I'll get zero downs. Dodge Hemi.
A Hemi dude.
I thought that was like, for America to finally examine woke corporate. Or it's like, corporations aren't, well, like, just because they pretend to be woke, and they really are. Like, Apple pretends to be diverse and all that shit, but, like, it's still probably run by most.
Well, like, Google was, like, the perfect example. Like, they try to be, like, oh, we're the company that says do no evil. And then you find out, like, half the people who work there think, like, we found out there's, like, this whole subculture of Google employees who are, like, well, we all know women are not mentally capable of doing science.
It's like, because, like, everyone's, like, that's the thing. Like, if you're in a company, don't pretend to be woke, because you're probably doing bad shit. Like, that's the nature of the beast, man. Like, you're still exploiting somebody. So don't do that. But, Dan, besides that,
It was definitely, if we take MLK Dodge off the table, it was definitely, hey,
which is shit,
we're going
to... I think it's a category on its own. It doesn't add to the discussion. Because, like, that's worse for a different...
Well, the next worst one was... Hey, we're Hyundai. We're going to take you in this back room and fist for security. Yeah. No, wait, no, we're not. Here's a bunch of people who survived cancer for some reason.
If
they want to come hug you.
And the 10 cents
that you,
from your Hyundai.
The 10 cents from your Hyundai went to these people because most of it went to making this stupid commercial.
Okay. I'm gonna go a different for me. I thought the Bud Light, like Dilly Dilly, obviously we do this like every 20 years with Bud Light. What's up? Before that, it was Spuds McKenzie.
Budweiser. Don't forget
Budweiser. Budweiser. Like we always have a dumb thing. Like, Bud Light's really good. Like Bud Light's meme creators in the history of meme. Oh, that's my hot take. Was if there was a meme Hall of Fame, Bud Light's got to be the first ballot.
And the other thing about Anheuser-Busch's commercial work is that they do a fantastic job of revealing to you in your life the people who you should prune out of it. Because if somebody in your life walks up to you and goes, ha-ha, dilly-dilly, then you just know, okay, I need to lose that number.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, now dilly-dilly's an ironic meme, which is the best advance. It's like what happened to Harambe.
Well, the best
Dilly Dilly is going to hit the Harambe second swing even bigger.
My favorite example of that is like the Borat jokes when they came back about 2 years ago.
My wife.
We're suddenly like people are saying my wife
because it's funny. It's
made me
funny.
Laugh so hard the second round.
Because it's like it or not, like there are parts of Borat that are a classic. You think about it. So maybe it's fucked up. I don't know. Yugoslavia.
Oh, you're from
Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan fucked up place.
Kazakhstan is nothing like Kazakhstan's basically Mongolia.
Yeah, it's awful.
Like the people like if you ever meet somebody from Kazakhstan, they look like a really tall Chinese.
Yeah. Well that and like there, like for fun, like, that's what you do. So like if any people should be made fun of, what do we call them? The Kazakhs? Kazas? The Kalos. But yeah, anyway, to me the worst, Bud Knight, that was it. And the announcers didn't even recognize them when they had him in the
Of course they did. They had actual lies.
To me, though, best, I really like what
That was the best ads, where it's just like, this is a Tide ad. I also like how every year
people
complain about Super Bowl ads. Like, I have no idea what this is an advertisement. And it's like, nah, this is a Tide ad. Like, do not be confused.
Yeah, well, like, and it just reminds you, start thinking, everyone's shirt doesn't have...
Sure, this is a Tide
ad. It worked on me. I was dumb. Sure, that's no boring commercials. What was your best ad? Which one did you watch that this...
It was a Tide ad.
You thought the Tide, too?
It was definitely Tide.
What about the Australian ad?
That one was pretty great. But I dock it because I wanted that to be real. Cause I'd heard about that. Like I'd heard about it leaked out. Oh yeah. There's a crocodile. They're going to run an ad during the Super Bowl. And then it turned out the whole thing was a fake plan by Australia to trick us into going there.
And that's why, you know, so fuck you, Australia. I'm never going. You fuck off, mate. Your weird ass upside down country.
What
is it over there? Like summer right now?
Yeah, it's great.
Fuck him. So but that really pissed me off. But if they make that move,
well, if they allow me to take part in my kid
commercial, enjoy maybe the for weird reasons, The Rock doing Die Hard. With, I was all in.
Rock,
I don't care. If it's a rip off.
I'm just annoyed they didn't call it Rock Hard.
But my thing with that movie is, at least it's not a remake. Like movies used to all just be other movies. And then they got even lazier, did remakes. I'd like Hollywood to go back to that.
That's the better way to do
it. Because, like, Star Wars was a rip-off, any of that stuff, but it worked, and it was fun. Like, recreate this with not that much effort.
Sir, point of order, Star Wars was a pasty.
I don't even know what that means.
It means, like, they ripped off a bunch of different shit and mixed it together. So that's you're not a rip-off of one thing. It's more like rip-off, like, an era, or, like,
everything. You know. Everything in Hollywood, every story ever is just how we do it.
Well, there's like, only like, how what, many is that, really what is that like thing like that we had to read in English class when we were like in high school where it's like there's only really five stories?
I don't think I had to read that, but I know what you're talking about.
And then like every story is one of five stories just with a different spin on it.
And like most movies are just the saviors, like, you know, and weird. Like pretty much every like big American blockbuster is a passion.
Also, almost every American blockbuster is like, okay, this is a Western, but nobody wants to see, like, horses.
Yeah.
So let's, it's like a Western in space. It's a Western in the jungle. It's a Western streets of LA.
Which, like, that's where I hope they do Twitter, where it's like, I know Rogue One was kind of a heist movie, but it's all done heist Star Wars stuff. What about a romantic Star Wars comedy? Let's just go all in with this. If you're going to do a Star Wars movie every year, just play with the universe and have. Because I think like a Star Wars romantic comedy would probably do.
Let me
like,
get
like the Deadpool.
Let me get a romantic comedy about Qui-Gon finding love in Tatooine before.
Yeah, what was Ewan McGregor? What's that movie he was in? The musical.
Moulin Rouge. Yeah.
Do Moulin Rouge quite with young Obi-Wan? But
that'd be good.
Yeah. Use the Star Wars franchise to rip off other movies and do like. Well, what if this movie was Star Wars? Like, what if we did that Tom Cruise racing movie? I'd watch that.
Days of Thunder?
Days of Thunder, but pod racing. I'd watch the whole years later. I'm like, that was still cool.
You were the one.
Everyone loved pod racing. What you're talking about.
Yeah, I remember those arcade games sitting in when I would go to the arcades, back when arcades were still, like, had people in them.
Because the arcades were just, pod racing was a big hit on the N64.
That game, nobody, that was, like, the tail end of when people still went to arcades. I went to arcades all the time. That game was always empty.
What was, like, the last great arcade? Was it Dance Dance?
That was definitely the last bit.
Besides, like, Top Golf.
Well, not Top Golf. Golden Tee.
Golden Tee. Yeah. Because you see Golden Tee.
Golden Tee's, like, in every bar. In, like, the corner.
It's been in a lot of restaurants. Like, go to your local...
to your local Greek.
Yeah.
There will be a Golden Tee anywhere. In the corner.
Go to an area around your home where there's some bars and restaurants and count all the Golden Tee. I bet you'll find more than... I can think of where I work. I don't think I've ever worked at a place that didn't have a Golden Tee.
I mean, yeah, you gotta have Golden Tee. Like, what else are the 50-year-old white guys?
They love it.
Oh, Golden Tee in those Deer Hunter games.
There were some weird Catholic guys who came in with the ash on their head from Ash Wednesday and did scotch and playing golf. Pretty white. You'll get more white than that.
The deer hunting, like, light gun game. Those are always in, like, weird places. But, like,
about a half hour in. Let's talk the game. Nick Foles looked great. I think it was probably Nick Foles going down. I mean, I'm sorry, was Wentz going down and then doing different stuff on offense with Foles? Because it is hard to adjust to a scheme if you're the defense when you have, 10 weeks of film of them doing something else and they do this?
I mean,
Foles looked great. doing the, I mean, most of it was the play action, but the RPOs did.
Every team is going to be running a shit ton of RPOs next year.
Well, like, it just were before, though. The Bears was ago. It's not a new, like, people think it's brand new. It's not. It's even been in the NFL, just not used to.
I mean, literally, the reason why Nick Foles was so good at him is because that was basically Chip Kelly's passing offense.
Yeah. Well, not, and give credit, like, that's why Doug Peterson's a great coach, because he's proves why he has ball. Another thing that happened in the Super Bowl. This was the big one, just switching your offense. How many coaches would have done that?
Yeah.
Not a ton.
Like, they basically just looked at a bye week and said, okay, what can our quarterback do? Okay, he's really good at RPOs. Okay, let's run a ton of them.
Yeah, because, like, we don't have to change what our receivers or blocking are fundamentally, at least. So, yeah, why not? And it fucking worked. And then you have, was that fourth and goal the greatest ballsy call in sports history?
Yeah. What I hope Doug Peterson, and the NFL, obviously, it's a cyclical league. It's a copycat league. I hope that because of the success that Peterson had in that game and the fact that they went toe-to-toe with the Patriots and then beat them, and they did it by being as nakedly aggressive as any Big 12 team. Like, this was basically like Mike Gundy. And I really think, and just knowing the way the NFL operates, this is actually what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to get a lot more aggressive. Football. Yeah, and it's maybe the best thing that can happen for them, because, like, Nick Foles by no means is a superstar, but, like, he's a fun quarterback to watch. Like, he makes passes, you know, like, anything can happen, seems like.
And it just seems like a lot of these duller 500 coaches who've been, like, complaining that the college quarterbacks aren't prepared to run a pro-style offense. Be shown that, like, oh, wait, we can literally just run the college.
Yeah, just adapt to your... Like, the difference is, like, you just don't rely on athleticism, but you don't have to because you have a better open or any of these other crazies that ran this stuff 10 years ago. You know, like, you have the talent that you can have running the, you know, like, Nebraska got swallowed up. We don't have tools, dude. You can run something. See, I think we'll definitely see some more of that. I think the biggest, like, everyone goes, like, I think the biggest thing was the touchdown to Zach Ertz. When it looked like the Pats were going to do it, the Eagles came back and scored right away. I mean, this is a game with one punt. That's wild.
I mean, defense is just good. Both got shredded. I mean, there's no way around
it. What happens in the playoffs? Looks just so tired, and just even though you have the week off, like, you even saw it last year in the Falcons. It's not like there was some great defense on display, at least for a whole game by both teams. And I also thought the difference Eagles were able to, like, why the Eagles didn't blow it and why the Falcons did. I think you said it good, Dan. Like, Eagles stayed aggressive. Atlanta didn't really last year. But also the Eagles went, what, six deep on defensive line. I think Atlanta was going, like, four. That's probably was kind of all the difference for them, because, like, they got the big sack at the end because they had fresh legs.
Yeah, the Patriots did a great job game planning for the Eagles pass rush. They did a great job of neutralizing it. But eventually those guys got free. Like, eventually they made a play, and they made a play at one of the biggest moments of the whole game. And, it comes back to the Eagles had matchup advantages over the Patriots at certain spots. And the Patriots, while they did a good job of seeing, eventually those disadvantages ended up mattering. Like, the fact that their offensive line's just not the Eagles' prime.
And the fact you base your starting corner, Malcolm Butler. Like, that was, this felt like the game. I thought even if they won, it felt like, I mean, if you were watching, even the Patriots went up, Belichick, like, he looked miserable. You gotta think this is close to being, especially with the weird Josh thing. I gotta think with Belichick, Brady, and I don't know what she think, but did she kind of get that feeling after the game or anything? Especially with Gronk thinking about retirement.
Yeah, this felt like, okay, we may get one more tour out of this band, but everybody's about ready to go their separate ways.
Yeah, it felt like really the Falcons going to cap that. Last year was the you did.
You had the biggest comeback in Super Bowl history.
Yeah, and you started because you came back against the Rams in barely. So it would have been like a nice little ribbon, you know? But I think this is going to end pretty poor. This is probably the beginning of the
year. This feels like the year before the Lakers had that, like that fucked up season with Gary Payton and Karl Malone, where, like, the whole year it was, like, a messy shit pile.
It's weird, because the Pat, you know, if you want to compare Tom Brady to, I think that's kind of a fun compare, because they were kind of really good for the time, and Kobe would probably still be playing if he ruined his account. Because they kind of went through that weird phase when they got Randy Moss and had all these guys in Super Bowl. They kind of did that weird Lakers thing and then came back and made Super Bowls, two titles. Similar to, like, William Powell did.
Yeah.
Is that fair? Is that weird to make? Like, I don't think we ever really make that enough NFL to NBA guys, but Brady and Kobe seem kind of, that seems right to know why.
Because they're both insane people?
Yeah, because they're both, like, really hateable. But, like, both runs in career where they kind of reinvented themselves, I thought. Also, did you see the highlights of Kobe Bryant celebrating with his family?
No.
He was holding his baby, And as the Pats threw up the Hail Mary, he just started screaming, no, 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 no. Like, that's how you know Kobe Bryant's a diehard. He just assumed the worst was going to happen. And then they scored, and he's, like, holding his baby, celebrating. He's so happy. I was like, why is his wife not freaking out? But what's Kobe Bryant? He's probably not going to drop the baby. He was the best basketball player in the world. But that was kind of weird, too, to see Kobe. Wasn't at a party. It was just weird. What a difference time, man. Good guy, Kobe.
I'm not going that far, but...
For what he did, he got arrested for having sex, right?
That's not exactly how I remember it going.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, that
Kobe
was...
Kobe, I never...
That was the wines could get away with.
I'm not sure. Even to this day.
Yeah.
She had brood, if you have concerns, especially if you're fucking Kobe Bryant.
Look, I don't...
I don't know, maybe it's not the place I can't. I'm not... Yeah. So let's end with this, Dan. So what did you, I mean, this is what, two, like what, the 4 years we've had three greats that came down to the last play. So even though the ratings are down, the Super Bowl kind of backed it, or is it just a fun game for the first time?
Maybe? I mean, yeah, for years, the Super Bowl is the worst football game in America.
And for most of the 70s, 80s, it's not like there were.
In the first three decades of the Super Bowl, there was exactly. Four Super Bowls, or five Super Bowls that were, like, decided by one score. Like,
yeah.
In three decades. Like, every year it was a blowout, so.
It's like, what, 1/6?
Yeah. Like, it was rough.
The Super Bowl?
Like, it was rough.
Yeah.
So, and that's because the conference, like, way imbalanced.
Yeah.
As the conferences started to have more parity between each other, the Super Bowl game started to, like, it stopped being like, okay, the NFC champion, the real, you know, is the real championship game, and that game's great, and then you go to the Super Bowl, and some AFC team gets the shit kicked like out the of Brown. Them.
Yeah, it's like that Bengals.
Yeah. Hey, you can't say the Bengals. The Bengals played two of the close
Super
Bowls.
That's true,
they did. Like, it's the fucking Bills and the, the Broncos.
Weird,
the Broncos got probably more often.
You know what's kind of weird, Dan? I think a lot of people look at the Brady Pitts era. We all hate the Pitts, whatever. But, like, we really had the best run of Super Bowl. The Patriots were in there.
I mean, have the Patriots ever been in a bad Super Bowl? Super Bowl? Like, even when the Patriots.
Every Patriots Super Bowl game came down to the last two.
And I think it's because deep down their team's shitty. But they've got Tom
Brady.
Brady
just scared and really good system. But
system quarterback, maybe the greatest quarterback ever. Like, their system's changed like 30 times when he's been there.
The greatest system quarterback ever.
I think you mean Troy Aikman.
The greatest quarterback ever. People forget that. Our Kirk Kittner.
Okay, that's not even a person.
He's
Kirk Kittner, yes. That was a quarterback for Illinois.
Yes, he played for the Falcons. He won an NFL game 80 yards.
Because at first I thought you were just trying to say John Kittner.
No, not John. John Kittner was the greatest, maybe the greatest backup.
Well, and he also had those great years starting for the Seahawks.
Well, him or Ty Detmer?
Ty Detmer. I think he's back to coaching high school again.
That's where he belongs.
Like, he coached like 5 years of high school, and then BYU decided, hey, you're a campus legend. Let's make you offensive coordinator. No, God.
Because, Coy Detmer, was that his brother?
Coy Detmer was his brother.
You remember that Eagles fan? We'll reminisce stuff. Remember, like, they wanted Detmer? Because I think, like, Detmer came in a good garbage time.
Well, I think it was that, like, Detmer, like, the year before Donovan was drafted, Detmer came in as a backup and played, like, the last 9 or 10 games and played pretty decent. And the Eagles had been terrible, especially at the quarterback position. Like, in those years in between Randall Cunningham and Donovan McNabb, their quarterback situation was pathetic.
It was, at one point.
It literally was Ty Detmer in, like, 95 or 96.
Multiple Detmer.
Brock was a quarterback there. Yes. Bobby Hoyer.
Like, is he one of those weird
He is the worst color commentator ESPN has for college football.
He's one of, like, ESPN's, like, national college football guys. Like, all of, like every single one, I'm like, these guys probably rape so.
The biggest problem with Brock Huard is that he seems to have contempt for everything. He hates his broadcast partner. He hates the fans in the stadium. He hates the people watching at home. Like, anytime his broadcast partner says anything, he's like, obviously that's the case. Obvious. Like, he just has that tone of voice where it's like everything he says could be prefaced with, of course that's true, you fucking idiot. Like, that's just the tone of voice he has the entire broadcast. And then when he says something that's, like, really obviously wrong that gets proven wrong, that tone is even more irritating. Because it's like, all right, you fucking smarmy know-it-all dipshit. You don't even know what the fuck you're talking about.
But Dan, let's transition.
Only speaking I could turn Marvin. Super Bowl talk into the third string ESPN college football announcer is a fucking 80.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of our Super Bowl coverage. Here.
But to me, the most fascinating thing is what happened the day or two after this, involving the Patriots.
Oh, let's get to that, to the other one. Yeah, Josh McDaniels was about, like, what was less than 24 hours away from the dude.
They had already announced him. He just,
they had announced him at, like, the press conference. And
he had literally, Josh McDaniels decided at the last minute to fuck over the Colts and stay with the Patriots.
You know,
and he was there at the facility getting out his shit, and then, like, Belichick just happened to be there and say, why don't you not go?
Interesting.
He kind of pulled a Belichick, but, like, someone on Twitter pointed out, he was kind of like your friend who says he's hung out and meet up with, you know, at the club or whatever, and then finds out a $10 cover charge and says no at the last minute. That's Josh McDaniels. He's that friend who says he's coming the whole time and backs out. Like,
that's me.
That's kind of me. the Colts, I think it's time for our boy to get hired again.
It's going
to
be Doug Peterson's assistant coach, Frank Solich, isn't it? Or not Frank Solich. Frank Solich is the longtime coach of the Ohio Bobcats.
Needs to be
Frank Reich. It's going to
be Jeff Fisher.
It's going to be Frank Reich.
Well, here's the issue. I think, too, the big issue with Indianapolis is Andrew Luck might be.
That's why you got to go with Frank Reich so you can add some excitement to your offense.
Well, I mean, you have Jacoby Brissett, and if you put him in the right situation, they could probably be decent. Because it's the NFL. Just, like, they're all pretty good. It's just they got to be put in the right position.
And the AFC South still, well, no, the Jaguars.
Not anymore. Jacksonville's really, and then Houston's with Deshaun
Watson.
I think Deshaun Watson.
Maybe if his knee isn't, like, if he hasn't been Robert Griffin.
I think it'll be. So that leads me to, like, one last NFL thing. We stopped talking about it. Opening game in the NFL next year. Philadelphia's probably going to kick it off. League champion on Thursday night. Who do they play? Some of the bigger options, like maybe Atlanta, could do Dallas. I think Houston would be the right move. I think the NFL should kick off the year maybe playing the Super
Bowl. I think they should open with them versus Carolina, because my favorite thing is that...
Is that a home game, though?
I don't care. Okay. The big theme of this offseason is that a bunch of NFL teams have hired guys who've got, like, a background in or, like, mining the colleges. Like, they may be, like, an NFL dude, but they're like, yeah, we're going to bring in, like, college thinking. Like, because, like, Mike Vrabel is, like, straight up, like, yeah, we're going to do a bunch of college shit with Mariota. Like, that's what we're going to do. And, like, Andy Reid had that quote earlier in the season. It's like, well, whatever college is 3 years ago is what we'll be doing. And Doug Peterson has obviously, like, gone whole hog on. But then, like, Carolina went the exact opposite way, and they hired basic entire Turner. Like, they hired North Turner's, like, daughter, like, the head of their cheerlead. Like, they hired everything involved with the Turner family at an exact point where, like, everybody's like, you know what? It may be finally time to the old-style NFL offense in the past. And Carolina's like, nope!
We're going I formation. So, Dan, how long does Cam Newton? Like, I think he might be going into.
Well, but I predict next year's going to be. I predict Nick pathetic, and, like, everybody's going to get fired. And then from there, we'll just see what happens.
The new owners coming in. You got a lot of
And, like, a thing people don't necessarily know who don't live in North Carolina, Cam Newton's really not a human as far as, like, who they market. Like, it's Kickley is the guy they market the hardest.
But it's the weird thing is, like, the only reason ever on Monday Night Football
is Cam Newton. Like, nationally, Newton is the only person anybody cares about. But locally, for reasons that I just can't understand. Cam is not the one that Panthers fans go gaga for.
Cam Newton clearly is a
fucking I mean,
the guy who, the guy whose dad may have taken
money. I wouldn't pump gas
in. This is a guy who went back to college to graduate. Real scummy. A guy who helps out kids every day. Scummy. But he wears weird hats.
He does dress like an idiot.
But you know what I heard? In an interview with one of the players, I don't know if it was Heakley or somebody, but they were like, yeah, we give Cam shit. It's like, it's not a weird, like, it's just, that's part of who Cam is.
It's not a thing you're not allowed to mention.
Yeah, like, they mess with, it's not a weird, he's not a diva guy. Right? Cam Newton's just, like, that's the hard truth. That was, like, the female's comment. It wasn't because he's, like, a giant sexist or misogynist. He's just weird. Like, it's just, he's an awkward, weird, nerdy guy. This is a guy who allegedly in high school, Dan, would dress up and jump around the locker rooms or the hallways. And he's just kind of a weird. I think that's the other issue with Carolina. It's not just weird. I don't know if people in Charlotte.
Well, he is bigger in Charlotte for reasons that, well, if you think about them, are not very difficult to figure out.
Yeah, I'm actually like, he might be popular.
I mean, he's just not popular in Fayette, Carolina. And,
in the suburbs.
You know, in the suburbs.
It's similar to, like, how Chipper Jones is more popular in Cobb County, but Colvitic.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that, but it's a similar dynamic.
Well, I think one, too, is just allegedly.
Yeah, Chipper's noted he's never done anything
well,
bad.
Well, he never raped.
Hey, he did beat his wife repeatedly.
No, he didn't beat. He cheated on his wife. Bobby Cox beat.
Chipper Jones. Are you sure Chipper Jones didn't beat a girlfriend?
No, he cheated on his wife. The Hooters.
His, I mean, like, he did that, too, but I am pretty sure he beat his wife.
I thought a scandal was like, no, I think it was Bobby.
Is there a difference?
Well, the thing with Bobby Cox, though, like, I think his wife was much. Like, they were just pretty drunk. And that was
sure. I mean, that's how I act.
I think his wife was a hoss. Like, I think his wife could probably take.
Have I ever told you about the biggest woman I ever saw in my life?
Whom?
I was at to go see a friend of the show, Seth Simmons. So I can't mention which teammate this, but I went to Greenville, North Carolina to see Seth Simmons pitch for the East Carolina Pirates. And one of his teammates, you know, Seth got us tickets to, you know, in the family section. And one of his teammates' mama was 6'3", had shoulders like a linebacker, and had feet the size.
Oh, sorry, Dave. LeBron shot. The Cavs finally went breaking it.
There you go.
In overtime, 140-1. That was a point. That might be exactly. That's how you get the. And LeBron gets the. Sorry, that's a little breaking news before we transition. But go ahead, Dave.
Well, this woman had feet like canoes. She was like 6'3". She had shoulders like a linebacker. And at one point during the friend of the show, Cameron Kleinard, might have made a joke about one of the East Carolina players fucking up in the field. And then she stood up and said, "Who the fuck are you talking about our ball?" I've never been so scared in all of my life. And I'm pretty sure if I could have seen my own face, I was terrified because I was sitting next to her. This woman was going to beat the piss out of both of us.
Speaking of beating the piss, let's transition. That sounds like some weird.
Yeah, we beat the piss out of them, mate.
We beat the piss out of them, mate.
That's a strange.
People say mate. What
did the significance see?
Well, African Americans. You see that guy who treated Elon Musk with.
Can we do something about Elon Musk? Like, can we just pull him out of his mansion and beat him?
We're watching a Bond film do all his shit, and we grew up with James Bond. We know exactly what this is. That's the...
Anybody who, like, cheerleads for a billionaire does just send a car in space for no fucking reason.
Yes, you see the guy who's like, this is why we need more tax cuts for billionaires. It's like, how does this help anybody? Like, oh, he's a car in a ship. How does Elon Musk having more money in space for his, like, own personal thrill help anybody right now? Or even in the long term? Because we don't need to take humanity. That's the worst thing. This shit needs to die right here. Humanity does not need to be this horrible. It needs to end here. That is my proposal. It needs to end here on our planet. But I think Elon Musk has space. You know, can the Earth be... Is that like how they do it?
I'm not sure. I don't like to... See, here's the other thing about the Earth is flat people. Literally nobody in history has ever thought that the Earth is... Like Aristotle, a billion years ago, knew that the Earth was round. Everybody has known for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds that the Earth is round. Nobody has thought the Earth was flat because you can fucking see the curvature of the Earth if you look at a, you know, if you look at, you don't even need, like, images from space to be able to see that the Earth curves.
Well, you can have some curves.
No, you can't! That's literally the definition
okay,
of flat.
Okay, is a pizza?
And it's not curved.
It has curve when you go in the crust. Curvy. It goes up. It's like everything sitting inside. Okay. We've done our flat Earth day before. I like the guy. I'm kind of buying into flat.
Literally all of them should be like forced to.
No. You know why they're awesome? Piss off like the science. Like Neil deGrasse Tyson.
But see, here's the big thing that I disagree with that on. These are not like, oh man, these fucking scientists need to be taken down a peg. They've got too much say. Nobody's listening to them. Our society's crumbling because nobody listens to anybody who knows what they're talking about.
Well, but they're also...
Yeah, because
like,
people are
forget
stupid.
That. Like, it doesn't matter if they're right, like annoying-ass nerds, fags. Like, Elon Musk is smarter than me.
Is he?
Probably.
I'm not sure.
He's not recording a podcast, but he's probably,
He's sending a fucking car! He's running a bullshit car company that doesn't make any money, that exists purely because VC give him money for it, that has no value whatsoever. He never meets his car targets. His sales figures never come in where they're supposed, but he comes up with some new bullshit idea that convinces investors to keep funding.
Well, maybe that's why you see it.
The only difference between
him. I don't have VC funneling me.
The only difference between him and that trans woman from the 70s who claimed that she'd come up with a car with three wheels that would get 80 miles to a gallon is that the only difference between them is that that person turned out to be a fella in a
wheel. Because it wasn't even like a real, like someone, wasn't that like.
I can't remember.
It's such a good scene.
It was I mean, he was a lifelong con man who then, like, I don't know if, like, he literally, like, happened to also be like, fuck it, I'm going for it. Or, you know.
I thought he was, like, on the run.
Or if it was just, like, literally, hey, they're going to catch me, so I'm going to Big Mama's house.
Yeah. And it makes that our Mrs. Doubtfire.
I prefer Big over Mrs. Doubtfire.
Was he was undercover, though. Was there a situation where a criminal dressed as.
Isn't Tootsie kind of like that? Because he's got a. Well, he's an actor, but he can't get any roles anymore because his reputation is so bad. So he just starts dressing as a woman.
Well, damn, we've got our movie, Criminal on the Run, dresses like a woman. Turn it woke, have it be pro-trans.
I feel like trans people will not appreciate this.
Well, if I cast from, like, give them roles in it, that's all they want. They just want money, you know? Like, when we're, like, making, I was happy when they were making money. Now you can't even call them. Like, when they were in every movie, guess what? You can call them whatever the fuck. Because no one cares when they're rich. That's what people, it's like, you know, like the Jews, they really care about it. Not really. Or, like, it was another example. Like, I got like the Italian.
This is our most problematic episode.
This is. We've been pro-rate, but let's talk a little NBA trade. I think nothing's happening. I don't think we'll see. I think we'll see some minor moves. See teams trade for bigs and won't play in the playoffs because no one plays bigs in the playoffs anymore. That's about it. We'll see, like, Marco Bellinelli trade.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. It
looks like Lou Williams not getting traded. Maybe DeAndre Jordan. I don't think anyone wants to take on.
Yeah, nobody wants DeAndre Jordan because he's a shitty player that Doc hypnotized himself.
Well, I think, too, like, his contract. He's going to leave.
I mean, he's just not any good. Nobody wants. Well, like, that guy is, like, is a role player. He's a role player. He is the definition of a role player.
I think it's on, like, a 3-year deal. I think, like, Portland or Cleveland would take a bet. And they probably use him.
If he was a guy, if he was getting paid like a role player, sure they would. Because he's a role player.
That's kind of what role players make now.
Like, for years, the Clippers tried to make this guy out to as if he was like, he was the third guy in the big three. He absolutely is not.
Well, but I think if you put him on the Cavs.
Like, would he? How? I mean,
he's better than Tristan Thompson right now.
Is he?
Yes. That's how bad Tristan. I mean, if you look at his advance, like, he can add a lot to you.
How? He fucks up.
He's a rim protector.
He's not a rim protector. He's never been a rim protector.
He led the league. Rim protected. Whatever the
stupid stat. No, he's a rebounder in an era where rebounding is jack shit.
I think he wouldn't help. He would help them in the playoff, not against.
Well, who the fuck cares? Oh, well, he'll help you. He'll help you in all these things that without him you have dominated. But he will not help you in the one scenario where you need help.
But the thing is that they're not going to dominate.
Maybe. I mean, I'm not willing to say that yet. We'll see when we get there. I mean, the Celtics are not that great. It's basically just Kyrie and the Celtics. I mean, he's got
Kyrie
no help.
Kyrie and Brad Stevens.
And LeBron is just better than him.
I think the issue is going to be Toronto.
Toronto can't be. I mean, Toronto every year, people talk themselves into and then every year they're sold.
But not this time.
Why would it be any different this year?
Because I think the Cavs are just going to explode. I think the Cavs might go. All
right, that's bold.
If they run into the Bucks, play really good.
Do the Bucks play good defense? Because I'm pretty sure that. I mean, they weren't when Kidd was there, obviously, because that's what got them fired.
Like, no, if you look at, like, when Giannis came off, but in the playoffs, Giannis is going to play for. I mean, I think the Bucks could at least push Cleveland to 7.
All right. I mean, I could maybe go with that, but, like, that's still a far.
But, like, there are a lot of teams that look at them. There's a lot of teams that have a better shot.
What are these?
This year's Cleveland team?
But you know they're going to be better defensively in the playoffs. You just, like, everything we're saying about they're going to be better in the playoffs because they're a bunch of old dudes with nothing to prove.
Oh, I don't disagree. I just don't. I'm just not sure it's there with Isaiah. Like, you need your third guy to hit. They're not going to follow up. It's their second option. So Isaiah's your second guy. Is that going to work? So.
I mean, Isaiah's not going to be this bad.
I mean, I think what would have really helped the Cavs the most was they traded for Lou Williams. Him coming off the bench is your two, is your other wing. Now I get some because that's the guy who can come in the playoffs that can give you a starter minutes or kind of stuff. Or give you starter for them. And a guy who can play for you in the fourth is not afraid to. I don't think we'll see Lou Williams. I don't think we'll see DeAndre Jordan. I don't think see much with this NBA trade. Maybe I'll be wrong.
Well, I mean, we already got the biggest trade we were going to probably get.
Yeah.
And how about Blake Griffin making those guys look smart? Like, yeah, Detroit now looks like.
Yeah, and like, you know, if LeBron does, which he probably will, if he's Cleveland and goes to the West, he's going to make the finals in the next 3 years. That would shock me. It's going to be pretty damn bad. It's usually when Detroit does their best when they ease us down. So, I mean, it might look like a good trade. And they say Blake Griffin has energized their locker room. Good locker room. And that's helped a lot. They're playing with a lot more energy. They beat Miami, seems slumping. I mean, the 76ers are slumping-ish. I mean, they did just beat Miami. And the Pistons look like they're going to be a playoff team. And I wouldn't want to necessarily play them if I'm Toronto. Or even Boston.
I mean, when Toronto...
I know Boston.
I mean, if I'm Toronto, I just want when the season ends to just, like, magically not have to... Because every year it's a disaster.
Well, not this year.
It's Yeah. This is all... It's always this year.
I mean, they are a lot better.
Every year. Every year, this is going to be the different... This year is going to be different.
One thing we knew last year, and, like, really the only other year you probably could have been was the year Atlanta got swept, and then Kyrie and Kevin Love went down. That was your best chance. I don't know. Cleveland feels more beat, though. I think losing Kyrie, because I'm just not sold Isaiah can make those...
I just think it comes down to what Kyrie gave them is the ability to, like, okay, yeah, you can do, like, a lot of great game planning, but eventually this is just going to come down to ours is better than you.
Yeah.
And well, and they don't really have that.
Fire from three, that's going to be the other weird thing. Can J.R. Smith Fry, if he's not traded, can they hit those open shots that they've kind of been missing? Because that ain't necessarily something they turn on in the playoffs if you can't with D. Because a big part of why Cleveland was so good was threes. They had a lot of open threes, and that's how they won a title. Right now, you're only really hitting off the bench. Point guy is, what, Kyle Korver? He's going to give you, what, 10 minutes in the postseason? I don't know. I just wouldn't be shocked at that. But you like this.
I just still am in, like, I got to see it. Because, like, every year we, like, if Boston still had Hayes, it'd be much more comfortable.
Our Boston can upgrade. Boston can go and get. Lou Williams can still be traded, even though he's injured. That makes him more tradable in a weird way. So, I mean, if you add Lou Williams to Boston, yeah, you add through some weird magic, Lou probably won't happen, but if he did, that makes the Heat so much better. But the Heat look like they're in trouble now. They were the toast of the town, if you will, but now they're looking like 7th. So before we get out of here, I want to talk a couple things. I want to talk before Porzingis, Dan, goes down with the AL tear. How all the fun players going out?
It's just like, I don't know what gypsy, like, New York Knickerbocker fans pissed off however many years ago. But it's just like everything is just set up to, like, constantly punch them in the dick. And this is just, like, the latest. This is just the latest dick punch.
And two, you're probably just playing Porzingis too much. Like, why was he playing this much when it's not...
Well, they were trying to make the playoffs. They were trying to get that
AC.
Why?
Because,
like, it is
the best. If you fall in the top 10, you're probably getting a rotation starter this draft. This is, like, the 1 year. This is probably one of the better things.
Because Porzingis desperately wanted to make a playoffs. Had they made one with him?
No.
Yeah, he just really wanted to be in a playoff series.
Yeah, I mean, he probably could have done some damage. But yeah, I think the Knicks are in trouble. I hate the way I don't get the Tim Hardaway contract. I don't know.
Look, the issue with the Knicks is always going to be their owner's a moron who likes to fucking stick his dick in thing to remind everybody he's the owner.
Other big thing I want to talk about, did you happen to see Giannis's dunk last night?
I did.
Should that be the new logo? That was something I saw where someone made the logo out of the... I've got it in the background. Should that be the new logo? Because that would be... That would make it cool.
You know what? If it's time to retire Jerry West as the logo, I say dunking Giannis.
How... Was that one of the more... Like, we saw Vince Carter do it. That's way more impressive, right? Because that's a 6'6 NBA player. That's some, like, guy from Australia.
Didn't the guy Duncan... Carter dunked on was, like, really tall, though? Like 7 foot tall?
But he's like Australia, like I'd say Tim Hardaway Jr. I think.
Is he? Because I'm pretty sure he's just like a coach, like a former player.
No, I watched him with the Hawks. He's a good bitch.
All I really know about is that his dad, you know, I hate Gabe, which I will never forget as long as I live.
I was listening to an interview with him. He said him and his dad like talk. His dad would be so hard on him in college, so he just like wouldn't talk to him. He's like, fuck you.
I mean, his dad is an insane person.
But Tim Hardaway Jr. seems like a good
Michigan
guy.
Draft.
And he's the guy, like.
He's a Michigan man.
And the other thing is when the Hawks traded for him, Budenholzer, Tim Hardaway, and he said, you're going to sit the first because you need to fix this, this, and this. And instead of like sulking, like a lot of guys would do, Hardaway took a chance to improve his game and got paid for it. So he's at least got a good work ethic. I think that's cool. That's good for the Knicks. I don't think maybe the money's. But yeah, like Giannis dunk, I think that's the most impressive thing I've seen, maybe ever. Just considering how tall, like Giannis is also just 11, 10. Vince Carter's a lot bigger.
Vince Carter's 6'8".
Carter?
Yeah, Carter was a forward in college.
That's right. I always think of Carter's like,
why?
It's just because I was like a little kid. Also, too, Dan, because like I'm from the, like I'm a wrestling, 6'8", like nothing. You know, like when you grow up, standard for tallness.
I always thought it was hilarious. We used to call Bradshaw It's like, fuck. Like, Bradshaw's like, what, 6'4" on a good day?
Yeah.
And they're like, he's 7 foot tall, Bradshaw.
And then you put him next to, like, Big Show, and Big Show's got, like, a foot. Well,
that's what the Big Show fucked up about WWF, is WWF was full of, like, fake-ass heights, and then the Big Show shows up, and it's like, ah, wait a minute.
Yeah. Well, like, that was the other issue with, like why Andre maybe was a bigger Big Show for practicals, because, like, WWE had a ton of guys really tall. Because you had, like, Taker, Kane, Test. You know, which, like, they're not the tall, but, like, when you're, we have, like, 3 to 10 guys, it kind of lessens.
Sure.
Which Andre was what, really?
Andre was, like, 6'8".
Yeah.
Like, Andre would not even have been tall enough NBA center, but he had those, like, weird body purposes that made him seem like he was from another. I think that was the key to Andre. It wasn't that he was just so tall. It was, like, his body was extremely weird. Like, he had a crazy long torso, and, like, he did, like, most tall people, they have a ton of leg height. Like, I'm not even a tall guy.
Like, did you see that New York Times article, 7'5" guy? He's, like, in a basketball camp in Indiana, like, one of those school, like, an IMG. He's, like, from Slovenia, somewhere weird, one of those weird white European countries. It's in the New York Times couple, this dude's, like, 7'6", and he looked like a mistake. Like, not a pretty guy, but, like, when he sits in a chair, like, lunch, he has still his knees on the ground when he sits in the chair, something crazy. Like, put him under the chair, like, his knees almost. So look out for this guy to come.
I'm looking forward to it, because that, having to go through life that way definitely doesn't lead to, like, major joint and leg problems.
No, yeah, it leads to quick, like our boy Johnny.
Well, if I can quote Kevin Nash, when's the last time you saw an old gray hat at the dog park? And on that note...
Yeah, I think that's it for me this week, though. Not a ton of extra stuff. Anything from college?
What was National Signing Day and a kid's mom?
It's the first National Signing Day.
Yeah, a kid's... Well, the big two takeaways is that Jim Harbaugh got owned. And some guy's mom walked off the stage.
She was wearing an Alabama shirt, like a hat.
And then she walked off the stage and he started crying because his mama... embarrassed.
He wanted that car.
She's not getting a car now because he...
Saban does own it. Forget that. What was the Harbaugh?
Harbaugh, like, Michigan did not sign a single guy in the top one. They had two guys, and they both... One of them flipped to Ohio State.
So that's a... Is this now what we can start saying? Is it Michigan?
The Michigan people that I follow, this year's recruiting class was, like, one of the first... you know, if you go to, like, MGo blog, which is a deadly serious blog. Like, they are not, like, the people, I mean, their commenters are always for the sky to fall. But their actual writers, especially Brian, is a very serious, like, you know, don't, you know, analyze this thing, don't get too emotional, you know, have reasonable expectations kind of guy. And this signing class made him stand up and go, something's up. Like, something's not right. Like, there needs to be some kind of, something.
Because that is regardless, not having a guy for aesthetic reasons. You know, if the guy sucks and he
wants. Like, the Harbaugh argument, the argument of Harbaugh defense is that Michigan's first two classes under him were huge. Like, they took, like, 24, 25-man classes. They just didn't have the spots to go out there and sign a real heavy-duty class. So instead, they took a bunch of guys who have, like, high upside, who have pretty low floor.
Yeah, like, guys that you maybe, maybe they'll train.
Yeah. But still, to not have anybody in the top one.
Like, even for a, not even just go grab, like, a guy you just plug in. Just for, also, like I said, just for aesthetic reasons. Yeah. So, because, like, half of college football is your program important. I mean, because look what it's done for Georgia. Number one, I think, now. And what, Alabama fell to the top three.
First time. Well, the other thing about it was that Michigan, his first 2 years, has had, like, this Georgia high school pipeline. And it seems like, after this year... Kirby Smart has closed that pipeline.
Yeah. Like, they're not going all the way to...
Like, the Jim Harbaugh pulling kids out of Georgia so they could go be tutored under the learning tree of his pro-style offense seems to have already... unless they start winning more games, they've closed.
That should be something fun to watch. Especially going to spring, but I think some of it was, like, feels like not the best. When Alabama's six, it makes me wonder how much...
Oh, and give big props to Herm Edwards. Everybody made fun of that guy. I made fun of him. You made fun of him. Going into signing day, they had the 78th ranked class. They were behind Tulane. Yeah,
moved up to top 50, right?
And then they ended up at 35.
Yeah, our boy. I'm
starting to think maybe Herm might pull...
But did you see, like, his Yakov Smirnoff job? It wasn't he didn't do it on purpose. It was like, in the NFL, in college, players pick you.
Har, har, har.
He didn't make that. That's literally was like his quote.
I always being like, hey, isn't this amazing? This thing that everybody who has ever followed college football has known about forever.
Yeah, well, Herm Edwards is like the guy who's like, hey, Potato King? Like, yeah, we knew about him like 30 years
ago. Yeah, we get it. Like we,
but that's what makes Herm Edwards all, because he's also like very enthusiastic charisma. And that's half the battle. Charisma, why he takes further to besides me. But yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. I think I'm tongue-tied and ready to go.
Well, on that note, since I'm not even going to come down on you for slandering the greatest college coach of time.
Well, I think when you're getting guys to Florida, I'm going to be like have some charisma and personality. Like if Steve Spurrier, who's like a really, like Belima.
Belima's got charisma. What are you talking about?
Because like, well, you know Saban does because he popped in.
Sure.
Have you not seen that? Where, like, no. Forgot what dance it was, but it's no Saban. Like,
when is it going to get out that the reason why Nick Saban recruits better than everybody else in the SEC is because he's a registered? When are SEC diehard alumni going to realize? Damn it, Paul! We got to hire a damn.
Wait for that. That's when like the left would like Mississippi State fans like we need one of the queers as our coach.
Wait, you get one of them that got a rainbow flag tattooed on their chest?
But yeah, before we get out of here, one more thing. Was there anybody who surprised you with the rankings here? I thought Mississippi State getting the best players from Mississippi. Good job.
Well, that's not too surprising. Ole Miss is not going to be playing in a bowl game.
But like, they also like, I don't know.
Well, they weren't going to go to LSU. Ed Orgeron's completely fucking that program up.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean. Like, they didn't miss. Like, kept them in house at the very least. They didn't go.
They could have gone to Auburn or Alabama. That's pretty much.
Yeah, or like, sometimes those guys like
sure. I mean, I can't imagine wanting to go to Toledo, Ohio, but sure.
No, I mean, if you're living in, can't imagine wanting to go to Starksville, because, like, yeah, there's it's not snowing, but ain't fun.
There's a Popeyes in Starkville, isn't there?
Probably a Popeyes.
No, but, like, the Popeyes in, like, the Gulf states is so much better than the Popeyes ever.
Is it?
Yes. Because I've had, like, when we used to go to Mississippi for vacation, and that's when we first discovered Popeyes, and we're like, oh, my God, this is the best fried chicken ever. And then when they started building Popeyes in our area and we went there, it was like, oh God, this is disgusting. And then we figured out that the Popeyes where they started are awesome and the Popeyes everywhere else, these assholes thing. They don't know.
Yeah. And they're probably trying to. The key to a good Popeyes is to have them clearly hate coming.
Yeah. That's really the key to any good fast food place is contempt.
Shout out to our sponsor, Popeyes.
Love that chicken and Popeyes.
No, it's
which one was I seeing?
That was the Popeyes. They changed slogans because they got that black label.
Louisiana fast.
Yeah. For a while, it was Louisiana fast. That was like my favorite.
We're getting loopy. Is it time to wrap up?
It's time to go. I think
okay. It's the third. And on that note, let's fuck the queen and play the music.
And fuck Australia.